You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? You sure? It was a big day yesterday. Do we need a collective sigh? What would we feel better? Okay, I saw it. All right, good. Hey, this is a place of hope, healing, and wholeness, so I want you to know that that extends beyond lots of boundaries that we have. And let's dig right into some scripture today. If you're watching from home, blessings to you. Hope all is well in your neighborhood. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it goes like this. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you. And for the sake of conscience, I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do. Not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. Well, we started this teaching series with a very simple premise, and that is Christianity has been branded as a square peg in a world full of round holes. And so if you found yourself saying, man, it's really hard to fit into the culture, it's really hard to navigate life right now because my boundaries, my beliefs, so on and so forth, seem so different than a lot of culture, here's the good news. Jesus said this would happen. And so recognize we're called to be in this world, but not of this world. We're called to transform this world. And what we've been looking at, as Pastor Ben rightly said last week, in this fall that is filled with dead leaves and dead philosophers, are some of the philosophical movements that have led us to the place that we're at. We started with Nietzsche, who said that God was dead. There's no objective truth. All of knowledge is based on power. There's no morality. Humanity ultimately has no goal. And really what you should do is just pursue pleasure and as much of it as possibly you can because the sands of time are running out on you. It's coming. Lyotard, we looked at next, who said there's no universal way to make sense of history. It's all a power play. And really what we do is play these language games with one another. You talk about your truth and I have my truth. Sound familiar? And so after Lyotard, we looked at Jean-Jacques Rousseau, who I know all of you love. And what Rousseau ultimately said was this, you know, so much of the things that we call sinful in this world are really culture's assertions of power. And at the end, here's the thing, there's no real morality because there's no source for morality, so just do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy. Do what excites you. Do what gives you pleasure. And last week, we dealt Pastor Ben the ultimate card, which is pretty tough to deal with, and that's Karl Marx. And Marx ultimately said that the world is only about material things. There's no God. There's no spiritual things. And it's best when the rich don't own them, the government should. So all of these different philosophical movements have very much been shaping our culture, we would say, at least over the last 60 to 70 years. And this scripture today reminded me of what my business law professor taught me the very first day of class. It was a matrix for decision making. And the professor said, look, here's the thing. You're going to be faced with four different sets of choices. Choices which are legal and ethical, or illegal and ethical, or legal and unethical, or illegal and unethical. And the ones in yellow, those are pretty simple, right? We can do those. If it's legal and ethical, let's go. If it's illegal and unethical, that's bad. But these gray areas, illegal and ethical and legal and unethical especially, well, that's where you're really going to get to earn your money because you're going to make really tough decisions based on all kinds of boundaries and trying to navigate them well. Well, That's really what the challenge of freedom is all about. And this question of legal and unethical is virtually every political hot button issue that you could find in our culture today. And so I'm just going to back up real slowly from that and move on super quickly. The issue here is really an issue that has to do with freedom. And look at what Paul says. He says this. Say it with me. All things are, but not all things are. Are you tracking? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his or her own neighbor. And the challenge here is the issue of freedom. And that's been the struggle for Corinth. In fact, for almost 10 chapters now, the church at Corinth has been struggling with a very permissive culture that says, hey, look, it's legal. All things are lawful. Let's do it. And Paul's point is, okay, fine, all things are lawful, but is this necessarily helpful for your life? How many of you have made a choice that was lawful but not helpful? Yeah. Anybody else? Sorry, you're probably lying this morning. Right? Like, I ate 4 chocolate chip cookies last night. Lawful, but this morning, not helpful. Okay? I mean, so look, we make choices like this all the time. Things can be lawful, but they're not necessarily helpful. And that's the matrix that we can build upon today. It's this yellow area, what's lawful in our culture, but not necessarily helpful. We have lots of things that are lawful, but they are very much unhelpful in your life. And that was what plagued Corinth. In fact, they might as well have put at the edge of the town, you know how everybody says, this is the home of so-and-so who came from here and so on and so forth. Welcome to Lexington, and here's all the great people who lived here. They might have put at the edge of Corinth this saying, all things are lawful. And when I hear that with its, you know, temples to pagan gods and the 1,000 temple prostitutes and all this kind of stuff that we've talked about already, what reminded me of the slogan for Corinth, it might as well have been this. What happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. Wink, wink. Because everything's lawful. You can do it. Remember the Greek historian and geographer Strabo said, not for everyone is the voyage to Corinth because it's a free-for-all. And I have to ask, is that a good thing? I know lots of lawful things that leave people broken and hurting and struggling and asking themselves the question 10 years down the road, why did I do that? You ever had that happen in your life? You ever make a decision that when you were young, you thought, hey, I'm young and wild and free and let's just do it and not think about the consequences. Let's live for the moment. And 10 years later, you go, why did I do that thing? Because I couldn't have possibly understood the outcomes that I'm at right now. And Paul says, look, here's the thing. There's lots of things lawful for you Christians. There's 613 Old Testament laws that you've been set free from. But if you really want to get down to brass tacks, the teachings of Jesus are actually way harder. Because what he says is if somebody sues you and takes your cloak, well, then give him your tunic too. And he doesn't just say, look, I want 10% from you because that's the law. He says, everything that you have is mine. So sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. The way of Jesus is always much harder. And so while you think you have all these freedoms, you're completely missing it. Because with Jesus, there is unimaginable freedom. And with that freedom comes a powerful sense of responsibility. A powerful sense of responsibility. And the Christian tendency over the last 50, 60, 70 years has been to gravitate towards one of two polar extremes. Either we want more rules. And all the accountants in the room who, you know, that's kind of what I'm from. It's like, hey, you know, where's the boundaries? Maybe that'd be helpful. And then there's other folks who go, man, really what we need is a revolution of sorts. Let's ditch all that stuff. And let's be as free as we can. And one of the philosophical movements leading that revolution in our culture is a philosopher. I guarantee you, even if you know philosophy well, you probably don't know this guy, and yet his work is behind everything. His name is Michel Foucault. Foucault, in the last 50 years, has been one of the most largely influential philosophers whose works have invaded the thought of politicians, social workers, religious scholars, the who's who. This is this guy's thought. In fact, if you want to talk about issues such as critical race theory, feminism, colonialism, LGBTQ issues, this is your guy. He's influenced all of it. And his primary issue is the issue of power. And he says this: freedom ultimately has no greater purpose than the goal of pushing against the establishment of those with power and those with privilege. In 1971, Foucault debated another famous philosopher on television. And at the end of the debate, after saying things like, morality doesn't exist, it's only about power, which is used to shape people's thoughts and preferences towards oppressive rules and systems and institutions. His opponent said he had never met anybody who had been so completely amoral in his life. And strangely, 50 years later, I wonder to what degree this philosophy has shaped our culture today. And here's the question I want to raise. Why is it that culture's encouragements towards exercising freedom in hot-button issues have left people struggling and alone to deal with the broken consequences? Because what I hear culture saying is this: just do it. It's legal. You're free to do it. You have the money and the power and the means to do it. So go ahead, jump in, do it, live for the moment, let's go. Don't let anybody else tell you what to do. Don't let those people, don't let that group, don't let that oppressive system tell you what to do. You do what you want to do. And like I said, 10 years later, you get down the road and you go, why'd I do that? That sounded really good in the moment, but I've sat up a lot of nights thinking about that. I've gone to a lot of counseling for that. I have physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, relational struggles because of that. I mean, look at us. Can we really say that the sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s was a great thing? Are our children thriving today? Or what about marriages? Or families? We've got lots of freedom. Culture encourages us to use it, but is it good? Is it good? It's like Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And he's saying, look, Jesus has fulfilled the law. I get it. So let's go to Red Lobster and do the shellfish. It's all good. Okay? And make the clothes out of two-ply material. Whatever. It's fine. And if you want to eat with sinners and tax collectors, go for it. Get the haircut. If you don't want to do kosher diet, enjoy it. Put the cheese on the burger. It's going to be amazing. But the struggle and the way that it manifested in Corinth was what I call the struggle for the stakes. And that's the issue Paul's talking about here today. And rumor is, there was a lot at stake. You guys are really tough, man. I've been working on this thing for like a year and a half with this crew, and it's like this every Sunday. I might not be Billy Graham, but come on, y'all, work with me a little bit. It's the struggle for the stakes. And here's what Paul ultimately says. He says, here's the thing, guys. If somebody invites you to their house for dinner and they put before you a piece of meat and that meat was sacrificed earlier in the morning at a pagan temple, go with the American mantra. It's beef. It's what's for dinner. Let's go. Eat the steak. Because you wouldn't want your use of freedom in that particular instance to affect the moral conscience of the host or hostess of the banquet. You wouldn't want to reject their hospitality, because at the end of the day, the greatest use of freedom in this particular moment is for you to lead that person to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So eat the meat. You have the freedom to do so. Jesus doesn't care about the kosher laws. We've moved on. But he lifts up in the same example. If someone at the same party says to you, hey, this was sacrificed earlier in the morning at a pagan temple, are you going to eat it? He says in that moment, you have to say, I'm sorry, hamburgers are not on the menu for me tonight. And the reason is simple. The host of the banquet would see you rejecting the very religious principles which you're trying to live by. And in that, you would impact the moral conscience of the host or hostess of the banquet. And say, you know, I really don't care how my faith guides me on a day-to-day business, on a day-to-day level. So it's all about what's the right use of your freedom. The point isn't what's lawful, the point is your witness for Christ. It's the way that your freedom impacts people around you. And look, this, you're like, we don't do meat to idols. Like, what does this have to do with my life today? It's just different. Let me give you an example. Tailgating, good times, yes? I mean, what a great way to have fun before the football game, and you get into it, and I mean, it's awesome, and you make the food and all that good kind of stuff. Well, let's say that you go to a tailgating party, and there at the tailgating party, there's all kinds of alcohol being consumed. I think the question you've got to ask yourself is, how do you use your freedom in the right way? And what sort of witness does it send? Can you have a drink? Sure. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you can't. What it says is the problem is drunkenness. Well, that's where the misuse of freedom turns in the wrong direction. So can you have one? Sure. When you start with four or five or six and you say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, how does that impact? How is your freedom impacting the people around you? And similarly, if you go to such a party and you don't drink, to say, I don't drink because I'm a Christian, how's that going to impact the host or hostess of the banquet? Simply be gracious and say, hey, that's not my thing. It's all good. So this issue plays out all the time. And it's not just alcohol. It's all kinds of different issues in your life. The question is, how do the things that you believe shape the way that you behave, and how ultimately will that impact the moral conscience of people around you? Because what evil does is it commoditizes purity and goodness. It fabricates unity and blessing. And it tells people to partake in freedoms that aren't helpful and simply calls them legal. And I go back to the question I asked earlier. There are lots of cultural entanglements that are legal, but at the end of the day, they're not necessarily helpful. And this is how people end up struggling and hurting and alone. And parents and families, this is where I beg you to join in the cause and in the fight. Because here's the thing, where we're failing, church, miserably, more often than not, is with people who are 25 and under. It's like we've rolled over and given up. And we just say, yeah, you know, I'll send them off to college and they're going to learn about Nietzsche and Marx and Foucault and Rousseau and Lyotard and all these kinds of worldly philosophies to just do it. And they get indoctrinated. Go for it. Live it up. Do it. Don't think about tomorrow. Just do what feels good today. You can do whatever you want, however you want, whenever you want. It doesn't matter. It's all good. And so people make all kinds of these decisions. And they never think about what it's going to mean 10 years from now. And we used to help people, church, set boundaries. And now we don't even get in the conversation for fear of being judgmental or backwards or culturally irrelevant or so on and so forth. It's as if we say, when they leave the house, we know that they're going to leave their faith, but it's all good. Someday they'll come back. Except they're not. In our own Methodist church, we've been failing at this for 50 years. Our denomination's been in decline because, quite frankly, too many of our clergy people have cared more about the uses of human freedom than they have in helping young people set boundaries that are helpful for living their life. And that's an issue. I'm grateful for Pastor Ben's work in this and for Pastor Susan's as well. And parents, we need you. We need you to teach your children the precepts of our faith, to have healthy boundaries in their life. Because here's the thing, if you don't do it, you trust somebody else's broken philosophy to do it for you. So you choose. Paul says in the end, whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or Greeks or to the church, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And I think ultimately what Paul is sharing with us this morning is this. All of the freedoms you possess in life are in some way connected to a set of consequences. And at the end of the day, the consequences you have to ask yourself is this. Are they helpful or are they harmful? It might be lawful, but just because it's lawful, friends, doesn't always mean that it's good. And so if you've made choices in your life that haven't been helpful, let us help you deal with those and find freedom in Christ and know his forgiveness and his love for you. And if you're struggling with making decisions now, let us help you and walk with you and provide a framework for you for decision making. I believe God wants the best for each one of us. And sometimes making tough decisions, well, it's just that. It's tough. Let's do it together. And let's do it with the aid of Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love, for your faithfulness, that it is for freedom that you've set us free. And this isn't freedom to do as we please. It's a freedom from the kind of sin that would bring us harm. And so, God, I pray today for our youth, for young adults, for children, God, that you would help them know helpful boundaries in their lives. God, that you would help parents be godly parents and providers of godly wisdom to their children. And that you'll help us as a church for our youth and children's ministries and for the pastors who lead them. Help them be faithful to you and to teach these young people what they need to live life and how to navigate it and navigate it well. God, we thank you that with you there's freedom too from our past. And so God, if people today here are struggling, I pray that they would know that guilt or shame, it's not from you. You long to give us freedom from those burdens. And so God, today speak and whisper into the hearts of those who are struggling and bring them peace, bring them freedom, bring them hope and grace. We thank you that you invite us to this table as your sons and daughters. And we remember that on the night in which you gave yourself up for us, you took bread and blessed it. You gave thanks. You gave it to the disciples to eat and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was finished, you took the cup, you blessed it, and you gave thanks and gave it to all of them to drink and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And so we pray this morning, God, that you would pour out your Spirit on us who are gathered and on the gifts that have been prepared for us, bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ so that we might be the body of Christ redeemed by your blood as a witness for the entire world. We make our prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.